88, 88, 88, 88, 88. This was a cheer my high school class would chant at the pep rally, concluding the week-long festivities for homecoming. It doesn't take much for memories of grade school to come flooding back into my mind. Recently, I was listening to A-ha's song, Take On Me. I was taken back to my senior year, 1988, Lansing High School, home of the Bobcats. In this episode of The Vertical View, join me and my best high school buddy, Matt Warren, as we jump back into time to remember some of the teachers and school workers who made an impression on us. Though these stories and memories will be personal to us, we hope that this episode takes you down memory lane and awakens some of the memories and reminds you of some of the people, teachers, and others who have influenced you back in the day. So if you're ready, I know Matt and I are, so let's get vertical.
Well, welcome back to The Vertical View. Joining me now is my best buddy, Mr. Matt Warren.
Hey.
Greetings, Matt. Welcome. Thanks, in. It's going to be a good time of Matt and I just sharing memories of, I guess we're going to call them the glory days, our days back in Lansing High, and maybe even back into middle school year. So I hope you're pumped, man. It's going to be good.
Yeah, man. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Let's do it.
We should chest bump or something.
Virtual high five.
There we go. Ready? Good.
Gotcha.
All right. All right. We're gonna start off this episode by asking 8 questions just to kind of loosen us both up. And the reason why it's 8 questions is that at the beginning of the show, I sang the 88 song, which we always did during Spirit Week. I don't know if you remember that, nice. Matt.
Yeah.
88. So we're going to ask 8 questions because we don't have time for 88 questions. All right.
Gotcha. Cool.
All right, dude. So here we go. Question number 1. Who were your locker neighbors?
Locker neighbors.
Particularly senior year. Who were your locker neighbors?
I think it was Peggy Wirtz and Yonte Warner throughout.
Okay.
I think. Unless we changed it up senior year, but that's the memory that stays with me. Am I right?
That makes sense to me because I think Peggy was to my left, which would make sense, right?
Yeah.
And then my locker, and then I'm pretty sure it was Mark Zifchak who was right next door.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to Eric Wurzel?
I don't know what happened to Eric Wurzel. I just remember Zifchak all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the group of us. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Peggy definitely was there.
It was definitely Peggy.
I remember her talking about Grundy's.
I remember Peggy talking a lot. Let's just put it that way.
She has a great sense of humor. She's
she
fun.
Was
still.
Fantastic, and I actually enjoy still seeing is. Her on Facebook. It's really great.
Yeah, she's cool.
All right, question
and also Robin Walter. Robin Walter, Yonte, and Peggy. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, they would have been to your left then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you saw that left, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
I'm with you.
All right, who was your favorite teacher?
In high school or middle school or of all?
Let's go high school.
High school, I would have to say Mr. Stevens, I think.
All right, and why?
Yeah. I just thought some of the stuff we did in physics was cool. And and I think you and Dave Stone were sitting on both sides of me. So if I wasn't learning something really cool, I was having fun screwing around.
All right, I got a great Mr. Stevens story. It was not my best class. I'm just going to start there. We had gotten back our test, and Mr. Stevens handed it to me. And just about the same time, my grandfather walked in, which was not totally shocking because he worked at the school, but it was a little shocking, the timing, because Mr. Stevens had just handed back a test. And as I opened up the test to see what I got, the number 6 appeared on the top of my paper, as in 6. That's my, that was my grade.
Out of 100?
Yeah.
Oh,
and my, and my grandfather leans over and he goes, "Let's just keep that between you and me." And he never told my parents. Unbelievable.
That's good. That's solid.
Well, Mrs. Stone,
I did a better influence.
Mrs. Stone McClure was my favorite. She was the biology teacher, I believe. And, you know, science wasn't my thing, but she really helped me kind of engage into what she was teaching. Like, I just felt like she was really, she pulled you in and made learning fun. And I really appreciate that about her, especially with a subject that I found to be very hard.
Yeah, she was a great teacher. Yeah, she was phenomenal. I remember dissecting a pig in her class.
I remember that too. And frogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can still smell it.
Yeah. I think I ended up taking a trip to the nurse because I was screwing around trying to cut some tape and I ended up cutting my finger. Remember that?
Yeah, that's a bit shocking that that would happen to you. All right. So number 3, were you a bus rider to high school or did you drive a car?
I was a bus. I didn't get a car until my junior year of college, I think. But I had a couple times where I would ride with Glenn Pewitt, which was fun. But most of the time I rode the bus. Yeah, Glenn.
That's great. I'm glad you brought up Glenn because in the superlatives, it reads Glenn Darren Pewitt moves to the Bahamas with his mom, meets a witch doctor who cures his bad knees with a strange herbal treatment. And I thought that was fantastic.
I don't think that happened.
No, I don't.
I don't think that happened.
Unfortunately, but he probably still has really bad knees, I guess.
But you know what? It wasn't a far cry from what he did turn out. Like, I mean, he's on TV these days. Like, he's
a celebrity.
TV. Yeah, crime reporter. It's kind of cool.
He's a great writer, I have to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Really cool. Well, I drove a car, and I drove a car that my dad allowed me to drive, which was that big old diesel. Remember that thing?
I remember that car. Yeah, sweet. It was a sweet ride.
The Tornado, I called it.
It's like black and brown.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It got me where I needed to go. All right, what sports did you play?
Played basketball, soccer, and golf.
Right, and I played basketball, baseball, and golf.
And you, yeah, I was going to say, when did you switch? You switched from baseball, you played golf?
I played golf our senior year.
Okay.
I wanted to, I felt like it was going to be something I could do for the rest of my life. And honestly, I wanted to hang out with you and some of the other guys.
Yeah, we had a great team. It was fun.
It was super
Glenn Pewitt, Khalil.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. Your senior year would be Mark. Yeah, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah. And Mr. Fleming.
I don't know that we ever used my score. Pretty sure.
We had a good team, though. We played some great courses and some crappy, you know, farms. But that was fun. Well, I was glad you joined us.
Yeah, it was good. All right, what was your class rank at the time of graduation? Do you remember?
I don't remember exactly. I was going to say maybe, I think it was top 10%. So I'd say, you know, in that range, 8.
Yeah, this is exactly what I was hoping was going to come out because I was just hoping for top 50% so I was eligible to play college basketball.
Really? Is that a thing?
It was totally a thing, yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So you were like sweating it because you played college b-ball.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have been able to play at Roberts Wesleyan.
Nope.
If you really?
No, not until after your freshman year and you got a grade from college.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it. I'm sure Roberts Wesleyan's glad too.
Shoot, yeah, I was probably 49. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yep, sure. I'm with you.
All right, what was your yearbook superlative, and was it correct? Do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah, you may have to read it. I don't remember it.
All right, here you go. Matthew Smith Warren remains confused.
Oh, damn.
What does that mean? I don't even know why they said that.
I don't know, but I'm still confused. So they got it right.
Well,
whoever got to guess that.
I don't know who did these, because mine was Chris R. Williams marries Michelle and moves too. And like I was talking to my wife now, it's 2/3 right, because I did get married. It just didn't happen to marry Michelle, and I did move.
Yeah, that's not much of a stretch, though. But you did move far.
I did. I did. Yeah, long ways far away from home.
Yeah. Huh.
So.
Yeah, everybody thought you and Michelle were definitely a long-lasting thing. That's for sure. Yeah, who did make up these superlatives?
Like, I have no idea.
I think it was like Heather Williams. I feel like it might have been. She seemed to be the one that did a lot of the newspaper and stuff like that.
I'm going to guess. I'll have to look through the yearbook here. I've got it. All right. Really, really important question for number 7. Your favorite band or the song from your high school days?
I'd say U2, but I know you and I also, every time a Huey Lewis song comes on, I think of you.
Yep.
So maybe Huey Lewis also.
Good.
If this is it.
Yeah. Okay, so there's also...
Well, how about you? What was yours?
Yeah, so there's things called personals in our yearbook, the Keoghan 88. And I just got to remind you of this, because you said you were leaving all these things for people. And it says, my tapes of Huey Lewis and the Cars to Willie. Now, I don't know that I ever got those from you.
Well, our stuff is in storage right now, but I'll have to see if I can dig them out.
But those tapes are probably still good, too, I'm sure.
I love those albums. Remember that album from the Cars? It's phenomenal. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well,
how about you? Yeah, what's your music?
You stole mine.
Share
Huey Lewis.
What?
Yeah. Because I always think of you.
In sports, right? Your sports
best
album.
Best album they have. The Cars, I still love that. And actually, one that it kind of shocks me. I kind of went back in my brain, but Dokken, and I think it was called the album was sweet. Under Lock and Key, maybe.
Yeah. I feel like Scotty Khalil.
Yes.
Dave Stone. Those guys used to love Dokken. We'd play them, blast it in the car.
I remember in the back of the bus with Dave's boombox, coming back from like Southern Cougar or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That was definitely on the playlist. That and maybe AC/DC.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of Rat, Round and Round. Yeah.
Some high quality.
Just
music.
Good stuff. All right. The last question. And this one brings back a lot of memories for me. And I think it does for you, too. And probably a lot of guys that played athletics at Lansing. Do you know the words to the song the cheerleaders sang while the boys basketball team entered the gym?
Yeah.
Well,
when the cats come marching
there
in.
There you go.
When the cats come marching. Actually, you know what? Also, my younger sister, Lindsay, she was 5 when we were seniors.
Yeah. Lindsay.
So she had like a whole cheerleading outfit and she would sit in the second or third row of the stands. She had every cheer memorized at age 5.
Well,
and she can still recite them. When I visit her, it'll come up.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, those were good memories. I remember being a middle school guy and, and this will start to roll us into some of the people. So one of the things we wanted to talk about on this episode of the Vertical View was remembering the teachers, coaches, and staff members of Lansing Central School who left an impression upon us. And we're not going to be able to cover all the people, right? But we're gonna try to run through some. And so Steve Saluti, who was our 7th and 8th grade middle school basketball coach, was somebody that I really looked up to. One, because he was super tall. but two, because he really instilled in me the love to compete at that middle school age. And my parents, my dad in particular, but then Mr. Saluti was that person who became my first, I'm going to say, real coach outside of my dad. And so I remember you and I and other guys, we played back in 7th, 8th grade ball, and we used to wear the tube socks with the blue, gold blue, and then the hose sock that went over top of that, which I still don't understand why, but
sanitary. It was supposed to prevent blisters, I think. Something like that. That was the theory.
Well, I remember going to the high school games and seeing those guys wear the Lansing Bobcat top, the warm up, right? And I thought, I want to wear that thing. And I remember buying fireballs and popcorn and going to the top of the bleachers with all you guys and just messing around and watching them going, I want to do that.
Yeah. Not just the tops, the bottoms too, those kind of blue pants. Wouldn't you love to have a pair of those in your drawers right now? You can pull them out on a Saturday, cruising around.
I still have the top. Yeah. I found that recently. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I remember Mr. Saluti. I feel like he kind of encouraged a lunchtime shoot around when we were probably in 5th and 6th grade. And then, he had people trying out for the 7th grade team. And it was just, that was kind of the first experience of sports. And it was fun.
Yeah. Excellent.
And we were pretty good, too.
Yes, we were.
I could feel like Darren Snyder, Steve Swayze, Giff Howard.
Yep. Stoney. Yeah,
like there was a
Billington.
Stoney. Yeah. John P.
I mean, that group you just named, we'll take Giff out of that group because he moved. But
he moved,
that group, we all went all the way through, and we played together all the way through, that main group.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
It's a pretty good group. Yeah.
Yeah, we were ballers.
You weren't as tall in 7th and 8th grade. You were still great, but I feel like that's probably why you went to college ball, was that you had all the guard skills from being short in 7th and 8th, and then you just kept getting taller.
Yeah, between 9th and 10th grade, I grew 7 to 10 inches. Yeah, so you're right.
Wow.
You're right. Yeah. All right, so we...
Yeah, so Saluti definitely set us on that course.
Yeah, so the next person is Mrs. Jaraka, and I don't know why I love this lady.
I don't know.
But it's amazing to me.
I mean, she's cool. I get what you're talking about. She is pretty cool.
All right. So she was the home ec teacher for all those people out there. And some of the things we did in there, like we were talking earlier, I remember sewing the light bulb together. So I remember cutting the fabric out and sewing that thing together. It was awful.
Yeah.
But she was so cool because she encouraged all of us, but even particular guys, like, hey, you got to learn this skill.
Yeah. I remember I sewed a light bulb too. Yep.
What else did we make in there? Do you remember?
I was very, very proud of it. Let me think. I mean, I'm stuck on the light bulb for a sec just because it only lasted a week in my house.
Why?
I was so proud of it, but and I had it home, and then we had a German Schnauzer dog, and he fell in love with the thing too. And so I came home, and he was humping the thing, and we had to throw it out. but anyway, what else do we make? We learned how to cook.
Okay.
In Mrs. Jaraka's class, like she taught us.
That leads me to my story. So as a 50-year-old man now, I have 5 children. Some of them have moved out of the house, finally. So, but almost every day I walk into my kitchen and there is a cupboard door open. And I can remember in my head, Mrs. Jaraka, the cook in that little kitchen area. She would get so upset if somebody left the cupboard door open. She'd come over and she'd close it and go, somebody's going to get knocked out. Somebody's going to get hurt. And so every time I walk through, I go, Mrs. Jiraku would be really upset if you don't close the door. Like, it's not that hard. So almost every week I'm saying Mrs. Jiraku's name.
She's had a huge influence on you. I mean, I think all these teachers, it's amazing how they imprint. And you're right. Mrs. Jiraku definitely ran a tight ship.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we probably drove her to the end because she retired in 1983 after 37 years at Lansing. Is that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. Must have been us.
How'd you dig that one up? How did you know that?
Well, I actually looked her up because I couldn't remember how to spell her name.
Okay.
And her obituary came up. And she's got an amazing story. She's a Syracuse and Cornell grad. Thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And you want to know why we really connected with her?
Why?
Because she was an avid sports fan. That's what it said.
Was she?
Yep. Apparently
I don't think she shared that in class.
I don't know.
She's too busy getting on our case about the cupboard doors.
All right. So next person up, what we were going to talk about was Mr. Suarez.
Yeah.
Yep. And I would bet one of the only schools around that was actually offering some of the stuff that he was teaching. You know, like pottery. I mean, do you remember that? We would be able to spin our own pot. We'd have the clay. Put it in the kiln. All that was good stuff.
I still have the pot. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I lost you for a second.
Yeah, my phone went to sleep, I think. Anyway, I still have one of the pots that I made, one of my favorites. Keep my like spare change and stuff.
That's cool. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, you had a funny story about when we made the little road address markers.
Oh.
You got to tell that one.
That's a little embarrassing. We were going to make a sign that was a wood sign with a kind of like a metal bracket to connect. Yes. And you're going to paint the letters, or I'm sorry, paint the numbers of your house, you know, your address. So you just had to be, I mean, not a big assignment. But you had to come in with your street address. What's the number on your road? And ours was 284 Asbury Road. And I didn't even bother to think about it until that day in class. And he said, all right, write down your address. And I was like, I don't. I basically guessed. And I'm pretty sure that I guessed Glenn Pewitt's address, I think. Because he lived way down Asbury Road, but I guess the number I guess is
right.
So yeah, I didn't get much.
I think.
I brought that home all very proud, and then my parents looked at me like, "What is this? What are we doing?" Still
confused.
I think
that goes back to the remains confused part. Yeah, confused. Exactly.
Got me.
Well, that was a great story. And actually, when we moved from Lansing, that thing remained on, it was the telephone pole, 142 Lansingville Road. I remember seeing that even as I visit where my grandparents used to live, which was right next door, that thing's still up there.
Really? To this day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah. Huh.
Pretty cool. Mr. Suarez right there.
Yeah. You know what I would add to Mr. Suarez that I didn't realize till later? So he and his wife, Mrs. Suarez, they both I don't know what their role was, but they're maybe like teacher advisor to the honor roll club. And they had this thing where in the winter, they would invite all the honor roll people in the high school to go to their winter cabin. You couldn't even drive into this thing. I think it was like a half a mile hike in. And it was just this really cool log cabin. And I heard about it, I don't know, my sophomore, junior year. And that was part of the motivation to try to get my grades up so I could get to the honor roll.
Get to the cabin.
Yeah, man. You get to the cabin. It was cool. It was like an overnight stay with a bunch of your
friends.
That
is cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Where was it? Was it in Lansing or was it?
No, it was somewhere like maybe a 40-minute drive or a half hour. Probably like near Kassawasco, my guess, somewhere somewhere pretty remote.
Marathon.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, man. Yeah,
about near Greek Peak or something. Sure.
There you go. All right. Well, the next one is just a real brief one for me. So Mr. Man, and the only reason I really bring this up was I just thought, one, I thought gym class was cool back in middle school. And we had some epic kickball games just outside the gym. Kind of walk across the road and up that little, it wasn't really a hill, but up the little spot there and you play kickball. It was great. Huh. But I just think that guy's name is like all world for PE teachers. Mr. Man.
Mr. Man. Yeah, he definitely had that gym teacher like was made for him. I remember his black sneakers. Yes. Black sole, black leather.
Just classic. Yeah. And probably the worst time that I had there was when we had to climb the long rope and try to go as high as we could. Like, I could never do that. I had no upper body strength.
I don't even remember that one. Maybe I passed that day.
I remember square dancing, which I thought was actually pretty fun. I enjoyed that.
Just the dances in general. Kind of, that reminds you of dances middle school. That's kind of a big
thing. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, cool. Mr. Man. And yeah, these teachers, they really do.
I got one, but I can't remember the teacher's name. So it was music class, which you said you didn't take because you were in honors and didn't have time for us other people that took music class, apparently.
What's your memory? What do you got?
Well, it was down all the way down near the auditorium, and there was a room down there that we met in. Mm-hmm. And I need some help from some of my Lansing alums because I believe this story to be true, but you don't remember it because you weren't there. So I remember sitting in class, and we sat in a circle, and it was pretty tight, and we were trying to work on some rhythm. So we were going around a little clapping like this, and you can see my hands coming together right now. We're doing this, and then we started to sing, and we'd sing people's names. And the one name that always sticks with me, because it was perfect, was Dolores Guggenheim, Dolores. And we kept going around doing that. So I really need Dolores to tell us whether this is true or not, or if I'm just making the whole thing up.
I'm sure she would remember if she was in the class. Her name was such a hit. It was meant for that.
It was. Dolores Guggenheim, Dolores. It was so great. All right.
That's fun.
All right, Mr. Davis. You had some fond memories of Mr. Davis.
Yeah. I think it was Mr. Davis that I can almost remember the classroom I was in when he talked about particle theory. And it was just, and this sounds nerdy, but when you grow up and you just assume that everything you're looking at is what it looks like. And then he was basically telling us that, you know, that solids that seem solid were actually like 98 or 99% nothing. It was just these like small little protons vibrating, you know, electrons vibrating. And I remember, you know, raising my hand and asking like, wait a second, you're saying that these things are, and I knocked on my desk. I was like, you're saying this is 99% nothing. He's like, yep. And he showed the, you know, the view of a classic atom. And I was just blown away. Like it changed my whole view of the world. So that's an example of just kind of this, you know, you can really, you know, it must be fun to be a teacher. I mean, I think it takes a lot of work, but if you see that, you know, their eyes light up like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. It's that moment where it engaged you. Right. And
yeah.
He pulled you in with that statement and probably motivated you from that point on to learn more.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good stuff. Definitely. So you talked about, as we move into kind of high school time, you talked about Mrs. Gardner and Spanish. Mm-hmm. Is there something there story-wise with her?
She was a cool teacher, but she also, you know, some of this is, I think some of my memories are the extracurricular things.
Sure.
So she was one of those, she kind of had some Spanish exchange program that she knew about, and she kind of must have either sent us home with a flyer we could show our parents, or had some sort of informational meeting in the evening with the parents. But somehow I got to the point where I was able to spend a good portion of a summer between my junior and senior year in Spain. I mean, that's pretty cool. And I would, you know, it's teachers bringing up things like that, that kind of, it changes your outlook. I actually went back to Spain, and with my wife, Diane, when we got married, we had a honeymoon. We went to Spain, and I ended up meeting up with the host mother that kind of welcomed me to Spain.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mrs. Gardner is just an example of a teacher, you know, that kind of encouraged you to break out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Mr. Cottmell is one, is another one that you had listed. And I actually really enjoyed Mr. Cottmell. I'm not particularly good in math, but Mr. Cottmell cared more about you as a person than he was really caring about what you got grade wise. I mean, he wanted you to do well, and he tried to really give you information. But one of the things I remember about Mr. Cottmell is that he really just he tried to love you more from the whole rather than just I'm teaching you this. And he had maybe the best eyebrows on campus. So, I mean, he was kind of probably a hairier individual, I would say.
That's a pretty neat observation.
Yeah. If you look in,
so you felt, he cared for you personally.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe all the best teachers do.
Yeah, for sure. Now I wouldn't.
What about the yearbook?
Wouldn't say that about Mr. Gallo, who was another teacher in the math department. Though I found him highly entertaining.
Yeah.
But
he did the push-ups.
Oh, he did push-ups, and he was really loud. Man, if you didn't do well in a test, you sat in the front. So that was kind of like I spent a little bit of time in the front. And if you sneezed, do you remember what happened if you sneezed in class?
No.
He would chuck an eraser at you.
Really?
Yeah, you don't remember that.
I don't remember that. I remember making like a big deal if one of the girls in the class wore a skirt, to the point where that probably wouldn't have worked today, I don't think. But no. He got away with it in the 80s.
Yeah.
But he was entertaining, that's for sure. I feel like the push-up thing was probably some sort of competition. You know, you got these, you know, kids think they're so tough, and it was a way for him to kind of show that he could do more than everybody else.
He usually won, as I recall.
Yeah. Oh, this is one that I remember as far as memorable. Maybe, I don't know if you'd call him one of the best teachers or not, but Mr. Steinhardt.
Yeah.
I remember one time he was teaching us. Number one, he would just jump up on the desk. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which was kind of amazing. But he was one of those people that he was a little bit like, he was a little eccentric, and he would hike around the streets because I lived kind of close to where he lived on Asbury Road. And he would hike with like great distances in his off time. And there was one day that we were doing geology, and he passed around the rock, and he's like, I want you to take a look at this, see if you notice anything, whatever. And then after, you know, as everybody has already handled this rock and passed it all around the class, he explained that he was on a hike and that he had maybe drunk too much water before he left for the hike, and he had to relieve himself. And so he was in the woods, and he noticed this peculiar rock. And that's about the time everybody realized they just handled the rock that this guy urinated on. That's memorable.
Oh, my word. Yeah. I remember some other weird things in that class. I don't know if I'm going to get into that, but it would often occur that he'd come in from the back window. So I'll kind of leave that
going
there.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll leave
there. It's legal in some states these days. Yeah, I know
that's
what you're
correct.
Talking about. The rumors.
Not sure it was in New York at that time.
No, probably not. Yep.
Well, I'm gonna throw us a curveball. I had it listed, but we didn't talk about it earlier. The lunch ladies, and that sounds a little weird, but I always remember, especially the lady at the end who would take your money.
So high school or middle school?
I'm going to be honest. It was all through school. I just love the lunch ladies. And I enjoyed lunch. So I $2.10. And then you had a little bit left over to buy that little ice cream, the strawberry shortcake or something. I don't remember what it was, but
I get a Nutty Buddy.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Lunch was just a great time for me.
Yeah.
And I always appreciated the ladies because they would always serve you, and it always felt like they were so nice.
Unless it was pizza day. Yeah.
And they'd get honest about, you can only take two pieces. Now you can come back for more, but you can only take two.
Yeah. No, I do have fun. I was a lunch buyer. Our kids, we would pack them lunches, or they would pack their own, because we felt like the lunch was higher quality. But I think back in our day in Lansing, the lunches were pretty good.
Oh, I'm going to go. They were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, they were so good. I remember this story. We were sitting around, and I don't know if you were at this particular lunch table, but I was wanting to eat Darren's pizza. And Darren decided that if I was going to touch his pizza one more time.
This is Darren Snyder for everybody.
There you go.
Gotcha.
He decided, or he told me that he was going to put a fork in my hand if I touched his pizza again. Well, of course, I didn't believe that. So I reached across and went to grab the pizza, and he just stuck that thing right in the top of my hand. And I can remember it kind of going boing back and forth. And the disbelief on my face, like,
wait, you're saying he let go of the fork and it was still stuck in your hand straight up and down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, that wasn't such a great lunch.
No.
But it was very memorable. Ouch. Yeah, very memorable.
Did you get the piece of pizza, though? Did you get to eat it?
I don't recall that. I think I had to go to the nurse's office like you did when you cut your hand.
Ouch.
All right. All right, Mr. Fleming. What do you recall about Mr. Fleming?
So he is an interesting dude. I remember, so we would ride over senior year. It's like Scotty Khalil maybe driving, I think, or maybe, I don't know. But it was a group of us together. And we, maybe it was just you and I don't know. But we would drive behind him on the road and we would time when he would look right and look left. Like, I don't know. He's just such a quirky guy. Like, there was some things like you could literally, like, he would look left and then 10 seconds later he would look right. It was almost like he was on a clock. But he was funny. I think he'd love to kind of like putter around with his club at the golf course while we practiced or played, you know, competed. But I don't know if I ever got one valuable piece of golfing advice from the golf coach. He was basically just our chaperone, I think. But we had a good team and it was a lot of fun. I feel like we actually played pretty well. I think sectionals or something we did. I think we did over there. What do you recall?
I remember some of the same things, just very quirky, interesting, super nice guy. But you're right. Like, I don't know that even in class, I don't know that I can pull too much away from what I would have learned in class.
I don't even remember what course he taught. I think I had a class with him. I couldn't. I think I actually might have been in his class, though, when the Challenger blew up. Because there was like a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, there was an anniversary of when that Challenger exploded. And I'm pretty sure I was in his class when that happened.
Well, I think it was history that he taught. Because it was... Okay. I think it was Mr. Lipper, Mr. Fleming, Mr. Addy, and Mrs. Smith, who I actually really enjoyed as a teacher, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all these teachers, man. It's like they were, you think back, now that I'm an adult, and I realize the job that they did and the effort required, and I feel like I'm much more appreciative.
And one of the things I remember in particular about our class And maybe they say this about every class, but I'm going to believe not. They would often say how much they enjoyed us, in particular as a class, that we were pretty unified. You know, we had our different areas of people, but in the long run, we could do a lot of things together in big groups. And I think they appreciate the fact that we were like that.
Yeah, it's a great, it was a great school. I think it's a neat mix of, you know, farms, you know, pretty rural people. Yep. And then also it had the mix of kids that were children of Cornell faculty.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think it was pretty good as far as academics. I think Lansing probably was pretty high up.
Well, I got a couple more names on here, and I'm going to go right to Fred Khalil. We talked about his wife and the impact that she had on your sister, but I would say even more about Linda, that which was Fred's wife. She was the cheerleading coach, and it was amazing what the ladies could, how they influenced the crowd during our games, one, but two, when they competed, how good they were. It was just amazing, the tradition that I can't remember anything before the Khalils being there, really, but I just thought the two of them really impacted a lot of us. And there's some some great memories.
Was Mrs. Khalil, did she have was she a teacher also? Did she have a position, or was she just cheerleading coach? She was more, or was she a secretary?
Like, I don't know that.
Like an admin assistant.
I don't know.
She was somehow in the ranks. But they were a pretty dynamic duo,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
Freddie Khalil definitely set a high caliber tone for the basketball program. Even just with the JV coaches, he would get in, you know, like Tom Ford.
Yep,
and
great coach.
Redmond.
Yep. Another great coach.
Yeah. And Mr. Dean for the Lady Cats. And they won that championship. My sister's class won that.
Yeah, that's right.
State championship. Right. Yeah.
Well, a couple of things I remember about Fred. Well, one, he motivated me to all ends, and I didn't necessarily like getting yelled at. And that was kind of his style, was kind of yell and get in your face and challenge you that way. But it worked. Mm-hmm. And I never really necessarily took it personal. And I mean, he drove me to really take what I learned from middle school and then from Tom Ford and take it to the next level.
What do you mean, like all in?
I think, mentally, I could handle anything. You know, by the time I got to college, you know, I had heard it all. I mean, you did too. I was physically fit. And Andy allowed me to continue to play the point guard position when he probably should have moved me, but he left me there. Because by that point, I was 6'3".
Right.
And I'm playing against guys that were like 5'7", 5'8", right?
So you think that was a strategic thing on his part for your betterment?
I don't know, but
you could handle the ball, man. Like, you may have been 6'3", but you really had a good handle.
Well, it allowed me to be able to move to the next level. So I do appreciate that. One of the funny stories I remember going by, you'd have to go in the locker room, by a couple offices, then by his office, you took a right, and then all the way down the right was what was our team room, which was always the super cool thing. I loved being in there. Mm-hmm. And I remember we would always go into Coach Khalil's office, and he would have those, like a big old jar of vitamin C tablets. Do you remember those? And
I remember what they are, but I don't remember him.
Oh, he had probably 1,000 count of vitamin C tablets, and we'd have to go in there and he'd go, I just take a handful and just start eating them. Can't afford to get sick. And you would end up peeing like bright orange. Right?
He was cool. I remember him saying something like, remember his saying about practice? He's like, practice doesn't make perfect. What would he tell us?
Perfect practice makes perfect. I don't know.
Exactly. That's what he'd say. You got it. It was so buried in your unconscious. Yeah, he would say. And you know what? He is talking about encouraging people to step out of your comfort zone. I think it was Fred Khalil that encouraged us to all participate in that Ithaca College basketball camp.
Oh, yeah. That was great memories. I enjoyed. So, you know, that did come to my mind as we were preparing to talk today. I remember we went to the IC camp. And I had the Newfield High School coach as my camp coach for the week. And that guy told me, he goes, at the beginning of camp, he says, oh, you'll never play point guard. You really shouldn't play point guard. And I thought,
why?
Who? I don't know. Who is this man?
What? What year? How young? Were you freshman? Sophomore?
Yeah, I would assume we were probably younger when we went to. I don't remember what years we went, but
I don't know either. Huh? Really? And yet you showed him wrong.
That was a good camp though. What was it? Coach Baker or something was the college coach at the time.
Yep. But I mean, Fred was up there too. Like, you know, a lot of the high school coaches were running the show. I remember, I'm guessing Fred Khalil was the one that organized, made sure we all got Jordans. Remember those sneakers would come in?
We had the first Air Jordans. So it was blue and silver, I think we had.
Yeah. So
the Jordan 1s.
That was cool. Yeah.
And we were the first team that had the 3-point line. Do you remember that? 1980 would have been our senior year, the 3-point line came in.
I don't think we had any sense of how we didn't use it that often though.
No.
Yeah.
No, because we were usually stealing the ball because I remember we were really good at pressing and being able to score in transition. That was kind of Khalil's style.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that drill, the 3-on-2, 2-on-1.
You know, so I want to bring this up. You and I played a lot of ball 1-on-1 together back in the day. And I tell my own boys this now because they're like, oh, Dad, you got to come out and play. And I'm like, anymore. But I said, but there was this guy, my best buddy. And I'm telling you what, he would make me look so bad in practice because he knew everything I was going to do because we played against each other almost every day. I said, so the moral of the story is don't play against your buddy and then have him pick you up in practice because he's going to take it from you.
Yeah. Yeah. We would go to Barton Hall even. Remember that? Barton Hall, Stoney.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Well, a couple more names. All right. You had Mr. Cowan, Mr. Hefner, and I had Mr. Rankin. What are some of the things that you'd want to say about those guys?
So Mr. Cowan was a math teacher, taught like probability and things like that, but
and a tall man,
AP course, very big man. Yeah, his children were big too, but he in his room he had the computer room
where
he had a bunch of computers and so the computer lab and if you were part of the group or whatever you could use that after hours, and you could, like, I remember just making some games, you know, pretty simple games, but it was just fun to hang out. I just remember hanging out and having some good friendships with people that were doing computer stuff.
I now remember that. And his room was right off of where our lockers were.
And the lunch line.
Yeah.
All in that back left corner.
And that was my homeroom. And that's where I saw the Challenger when it blew up. That's where I was.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, so many memories. I'd like to go back to the high school. I wonder if they can still tour.
Oh, I'm sure.
Show my kids.
I'm sure. And you could go back and see where you wrote your name on the wall up in the study hall area.
So what about Mr. Rankin?
Well, Mr. Rankin was the principal. Yeah. And he was the guy who encouraged me because I was being told at the time that you know, my grades weren't good enough. I could only go to junior college, so don't even apply anywhere else. And, you know, I didn't know much better. I was nobody in my family had ever gone to college before, and so we didn't really know what our options were. Well, Mr. Rankin was very encouraging and said, no, you should apply to various places, and I would really encourage you to do so. And he said, your basketball will likely help you to be able to move into a place, and you'll be able to continue your education there. And he was so right. As I look back, basketball was a motivator for me, and he could see that, and he could tell that that was the thing that was going to get me to college. And from there, I started to take my education a little more serious, you know, all the way through my grad program. And I'm super thankful for the encouragement, you know, to believe in something more, something bigger beyond. That's what I remember about Mr. Rankin.
Yeah, that shows you, right? The influence that they can have, you know. Otherwise, what would you have done?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd
probably still be back in Lansing.
Well, it wouldn't be so bad.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying, like, you've definitely seen some things, you know what I mean? Like, what you've accomplished at Robert Schlesien and then the coaching, you know. I don't know. You've had an illustrious career.
Well, I'm hopeful, Matt, that this time's been just a time that we've been able to reflect and share some stories back and forth, but also conjure up some memories. My goal with this was to maybe get some of our Lansing alums to be able to interject and to talk about their teachers or even some. So I'm hopeful that that's what's happened for you tonight as we've had this conversation.
No, I appreciate it. I was doing it as a favor, but going through the process has been fun. I miss everybody.
I do too.
They're really good memories.
I do too. So we hope that if anybody listens to this, in particular people from Lansing, we would love to hear from you. We'll make sure it gets posted online for you all to listen to.
That brings us to the end of another episode of The Vertical View. I want to thank Mr. Matthew Warren for sharing in this memorable conversation about our past, specifically the teachers, staff, and coaches who influenced us or impacted us throughout our time at Lansing Central School. To connect with Matt, you can find him on Facebook at Matthew Smith Warren or on Twitter at Matthew S. Warren. To connect with me on Facebook, find me at Chris Lisa Williams or on Twitter at VE_executive. For The Vertical View, thanks for listening. And I'd ask that you subscribe on any of the platforms where you listen to your podcast. Until next time, I'll see you right back here at The Vertical View.